Welcome back, everybody. There's that fly. Cut. I mean, what timing? Give the fly credit.
You just like, cannot focus.
No, I was like, welcome back. Like if you had come over here and gotten like this, I would have stopped. The fly just like, it was like the fly was resting and it was like, what?
Yeah.
Welcome back. Okay, now I'm ready. Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with JL Covan. I'm JL Covan here, as always, with Producer Mike. Hello, Producer Mike.
Hi, JL. Hi, everybody. How you doing? It's good to see you. I have a mustache now.
Love it.
Thanks.
Not really, but Here's the thing. No, I'm. We'll see. It's not bad.
I'm very fat, so if I lost a little bit of weight here, which I'm trying to do, I think it would look a lot better.
Okay. But I think the mustache with the hat is better than the mustache with no hat. Like when, cause then
I need a haircut.
Hair will draw, like it will like make the mustache pop more. Whereas now it's more like, it's a little more subtle with the hat on, mm-hmm. a little stubble. But you give, when you do all your hair care product and then the stash, it's like, Mike, that stash is really taking over.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it is a cultural birthright of my people to have a mustache. You know, I held up a picture of Super Mario as I shaved whatever I had around here off. And, you know, I'm just hoping that with, 15 pounds off my face, it's going to look a little better. But that remains to be seen.
That's a lot of pounds off a face.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a great week last week. The country had a horrible week, but that seems to be how my career goes. Dictators and pandemics usually mean the JL market is going to skyrocket. So yeah. I've been getting offers for shows now, private gigs, the Patreon. Thank you, really? Everybody.
It's blown up that much.
I mean, I don't mean to act like I'm getting 18, like I'm turning things away, but it's like every day there's like two new Cameo orders, three Patreon subscribers,
yeah,
extra subscribers to the podcast,
right?
A private gig here. Do you want to do New Year's Eve show here? Like, so it's just interesting. You know, you can tell, I should be like listed on some sort of financial market website where, yep, it's like as the JL market starts to climb, investors get spooked. So, you know, that's the way it is, I guess. But we had so much great feedback last week. And hopefully I'm hoping we have a lot of those people stick around, that this provides them. I'm not here to heal. I'm here to be myself. But if me being myself and sharing my thoughts gives people a place to go to. You know, the dream here, Mike, and I think you'd agree, is left of center Joe Rogan.
I guess. I mean, do you want to? Well, we don't want to. Rogan's whole thing is guests. He loves talking to.
Yeah, you do
he
that.
Loves talking to people.
You
who are like,
you get guests when you aren't the man. When you're him, guests are optional. When you know everything and bring it, the guests are lucky to join you. Rogan's got to have the guests. He needs the guests.
Right.
We need the fans.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, left of center Joe Rogan, like ideologically, I think is the, yep, move. Yeah. I mean, it's not impossible.
I once said 10 years ago, I said I wanted to be the left of center Adam Carolla.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of he's a very funny guy. And but to me, what I think we need to get to, and the main topic today will be, you know, going forward, who it's time to start strategizing. Everybody on the media and in the left is blaming, like it's still a blame game. And like, let's make sure we've all pissed on Joe Biden's grave before we move on. Mike just gave a look that was like, well,
you know how I feel about it.
Yeah. Well,
it's a broader discussion and it's not just
sure
a Joe Biden problem necessarily.
Sure.
If
sure.
you look at the slippery slope of the last decade, a lot of it has sort of been ushered in by the ego of some of the people on the left, starting with Ginsburg.
Yeah, I mean,
unfair. I mean,
no,
she could have stepped down.
Left wing ego. We need some of that tasty humble pie that they're baking on the right.
That's not what I'm saying.
Donald Trump, humble servant. No, I get what you're saying. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like everybody, thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. Okay. And we say, oh, how arrogant of her to think like everyone else did. That's actually humble. She didn't try to outsmart everybody being I'm going to retire today because Donald Trump might rape his way to the White House.
Yeah.
I'm playing chess while all you idiots are playing checkers. She probably liked the bookend idea of being appointed by Bill Clinton and then retiring for Hillary Clinton. So people say arrogant, but at the same time, you know what else? She became a sort of, you know, just like Scalia died in office. That wasn't that. Well, it wasn't arrogant because it was a Democratic president. His arrogance was like, I'll be here. I'll have a heart attack on a hunting trip. I'm never leaving here. But that's not arrogant. Antonin Scalia, not arrogant. I'm not talking for you. I'm talking in general. Antonin Scalia, not arrogant. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, once again, the double standard where everything that the left does viewed in the worst possible light. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you were the Thurgood Marshall of women. So when did you become such a selfish bitch? I'm talking now.
Okay.
I'm talking. I got the microphone, Mike. No, it's. That I'm not saying that's what you said, but you opened the door to like that. It starts with rebate. Then Hillary Clinton showed up with her vast knowledge and experience, and she didn't go to Wisconsin to blow enough cheese farmers. Jeez, what a bitch. And then we get Joe Biden, who, let's be honest, no COVID. We don't have a President Joe Biden. I'm saying that right now. It took all that.
That might be true.
It took all that. It took COVID. It took the Lord via Wuhan to show up and say, this is a biblical problem. It deserves a biblical plague. Side note, all due respect, I do mourn the victims of COVID and don't dismiss it. But for this podcast, we're speaking
right, for comedy,
comedic hyperbole.
Of course.
Just got to put that disclaimer in and we'll get to why I have to do that, because apparently I was an ally for 3 hours for one fan. And then, you know, the left giveth and they taketh away. No. So to me, we don't have Joe Biden. Probably. I should say probably. Without COVID, we probably don't have President Joe Biden. So that's where we are. So Joe Biden was approached the office with humility. That was at least his campaign pitch, that he was called out, you know, called out of retirement like Richard Harris in Unforgiven, but bad analogy, because if you've seen that movie, it doesn't end well for Richard Harris, but maybe a little Clint Eastwood action. But now we're here where, once again, is somehow it's the arrogance of the left. It's the fact that what we need is honestly a candidate who's both 100% pro-Israel and 100% anti-Israel. If we can just find that candidate, I think we'll wrap this all up. If we could just find somebody who cares about climate change, but also wants a bidet made of natural gas shooting up their ass, I think we've got the perfect candidate. If we can just find somebody who cares for marginalized communities but isn't afraid to participate in hate crimes against those marginalized communities, we will probably find the perfect candidate. So it's good. I mean, so many options out there, Mike. But if we can just find a candidate that encompasses all those views, I don't think we lose another election.
Maybe not.
I don't think so. I think we'd be very hard pressed to lose an election if that person was also someone of deep, profound religious faith who never did anything that reflected that religious faith. I think so. So I just think we have to go on a search for that person. And if we can find that person, I think we can win. I think we can take this country back. Though a country doesn't really want to be. I feel like at this point, taking the country back.
No, it's been taken back.
We'd be kidnapping it, yes, at this point. Like, it's like, I want to go with daddy. And we're like, no, we have fruits and vegetables and books and tolerance and clean air for you. No, stranger danger, dad, Democrat want to kidnap me. And he's like, who the fuck are you? And they're like, see, dad's so cool. I want to go back with dad. Shut, get the fuck off me. You got ice cream on my suit, you little shit. Dad curses. He's the coolest dad. That's America, man. So, but of course, it's all Joe Biden's fault. Just like nothing he did ever got any credit. It's all Joe Biden's fault. I got it. And then hopefully when all money of his bills, if the things that they've put in place that can't be undone by Trump, hopefully when those help some people or get some people jobs, they give credit to where credit's due. Don Jr. in 2028. So it's, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired, Mike. I'm fucking networking this shit.
Yeah.
This podcast is about to be the funniest version of network you've ever seen. By the way, before I just recap my gigs this weekend, which were fun in Princeton, New Jersey, thanks to everybody who came out. I have to say, Bernie Sanders. I think I insulted him at the end of the last episode. Yes. And I'm going to start calling him Bernie Ruxpin, because you know what? He really only has the same 8 fucking phrases. I say this as somebody who donated to him and thinks his message is important, but how about you modify it once in a while, you old fuck? How about once in a while, when a president like Joe Biden that you supported publicly and encouraged his strong stance on unions, the bills that he did that did help the middle class, how about you don't become a fucking rat like everybody else as soon as the media is paying attention to you, going to go, actually, nobody in the Democratic Party cares for the working man. That's why they left us, because we don't care for the working man. And Donald Trump does? You old bag of shit. Donald Trump cares about the working man. So that's, the working man is punishing us by going to their mortal enemy. Well, maybe the working man's a dumb fuck in your scenario. Maybe he should go into a factory with no safety requirements and watch the lead pipe hit him on the fucking head. Oh no, I'm paralyzed for life. Nope, you don't get benefits because you got President Daddy Trump. Yay! Working man, working man. You have to, 119-year-old Bernie Sanders is in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean where we're all floating. This is because the working man was a man of the Democratic Party. Oh man, Bernie, you were so right. If only we elected you, you know, because Republicans always paint everyone as a socialist. That's what scares the Cubans and everybody else. Like, oh, we can't vote for a socialist. But my grandfather escaped Fidel Castro, so I can't vote for a guy who wants to give a black guy food stamps. No way. No way. No Fidel. Oh, but I'm sure we'd be fine with a guy showing up who's like, I am a socialist. Oh, no. It's Joe Biden's too socialist. Kamala Harris is too socialist. But Bernie Sanders walks in with the fucking hammer and anvil or whatever going, socialism, it's going to save us. They'll go, oh, yeah, no, he's cool. We're cool with the uncut pure fentanyl socialism. It's just that weak shit we didn't want. So now he comes out and does the same phrases, like out of context. It might as well be 2008, 2016, 2024. He's just like, they have abandoned us because we abandoned them. What about when you're doing fucking appearances and praising Joe Biden? It's because he's doing the thing. He knows, and I know he's a saint. He's a saint. He's going to be the progressive martyr when he dies. We would have utopia if only we had entrusted Bernie Sanders, the most electable man in America, the old Jewish guy who's a socialist. America's been clamoring for that. Have you seen the people out there, Mike? Have you seen them? They're so pro-Jewish. They're so pro-socialism. They're so pro-regional fucking stoop in Brooklyn accents. That's what they want. That's what America's been clamoring for this whole time. So, of course, he would win in a landslide every time. All the time. We'd fuck the Constitution. 4 terms for Bernie. Who cares that he's 90? That's only a problem for everyone else. For Bernie Sanders, he burns with the light of innocence and youth. He's like nuclear fission. Like, he's just burning eternally, and he can live forever and save us. So, I'm tired of him playing the pull the string. I'm tired of that because it's out of context. He doesn't have the decency to modulate his message enough because he's a politician. No, I know everybody else is a politician, not Bernie. Everybody else is a politician. But and this is after I bought Chapel Roan's album this weekend and listened to it. So imagine if I hadn't had that dose of hip queer anthemness in me. I'd be really fucking
surprised. I'm proud of you.
Let me tell you, it's that Happy Stripper song is my jam.
Yeah?
That song is
Chapel Roan fan. Wow.
That fucking, when she did that shit on SNL, I was like sitting there going like, this is fucking good. Yeah. It was real good. This is good shit. I'm not kidding you.
I believe
like, this is awesome.
I believe you, Jack.
I was like, this is awesome. So, you know, I needed to do that to like, you know, because I can't go, I'm going probably too hard on the progressives anyway. But I'm just saying, Bernie gets to be a saint. And he gets to come out and play the same political game like nothing's changed. Like it's still just corporate Democrats who ruined everything. Well, Joe Biden didn't ruin everything. He did. He listened to you and AOC. He really did bring in more left-wing policies. He listened. He's not going to fucking be you, but he really did. That's a fact. He accomplished a lot and he listened and he incorporated. He wasn't the perfect left-wing president, but for Bernie Sanders to get out there and give this like nothing's changed, like he's talking about Hillary Clinton in 2015 or something in the Democratic Party, I think it's intellectually dishonest. And I hate it because there's so many people, just like there's so many people who will listen to Trump no matter what. No matter what. The sky is purple. Can you believe the sky is purple? The sky's purple, guys. We got to do something. Daddy Trump says the sky's purple. If Bernie says the Democrats don't care about anything, they'll go, that's what we've been saying, Bernie. That's what we've been saying. You know, nothing's going to change under Trump. Can't wait. I hate to say it. I hate to say it because I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that spiteful.
Yeah.
I don't want to be. And I don't think I am.
Excited to see how bad things are going to
get. But there's a little bit. Well, because we know I'm going to be fine. The worse it gets, the more my bank account rises. I'm going to be on this podcast just making it rain. Like, where'd your Obamacare go, bitches? But I'm just tired of it because I think it's Bernie has a point. And I do agree. And I think he has moved. Now, he just wants 100%, you know, pure uncut democratic socialism. Sorry, we live like, look what just happened. I don't think we're going to get that. I think Joe Biden did as well as we can, at least his first 2 years when he had zero majority in the Senate. He moved to the left in ways that were comfortable to him. He never moved to the left on Israel. I think that's because he's a true believer, like it or not. Whenever a Republican has a horrible view, we all go, yeah, but at least you know where he stands. Like that. Oh, okay. Pro rape. But you know, he's pro rape. Okay. He doesn't come here like the Democrats going like, well, there's different definitions. And I think these people should be punished, but maybe not those people as harshly. Shut up, nuanced motherfucker. We didn't come here for nuance. Jack off from Nebraska is pro rape. I don't agree with him. But I know where he stands and I can respect that. That's what we do. This performative, like, I can respect. He's an awful person. Hitler was a bad dude, but I knew where he stood. These Democrats, though, one day it's I'm pro-fracking. The other day it's kind of pro-fracking, but maybe we need some safety measures. Well, which is it, Democrats? Which is it? I like the guy who's like, I'm pro-fracking, even if it burns the country to the ground, because at least I know where he stands. Anyway, if I had long hair, I'd be like wiping it back. Fuck yeah. Anyway. The point is, Mike, just sit tight for a second. I'll let you in about a half hour.
No, I take your time.
Cooking, man. I had that coffee roll at 6 p.m. from Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm like, do. So, but I don't like the, it's like, it's always so easy for somebody like Bernie Sanders to just show up and he can say the same thing. And there are people who are just going to say, yeah, I agree. I agree completely. I've always thought that, and I've just been waiting for somebody to feed it to me again. Because maybe the nuanced message, maybe if Bernie said, now Joe Biden did some good things, fly. If Joe Biden did some good things, then they're going, shut up, Bernie. We didn't come here for Joe Biden wasn't that bad. We came here for burn it down. Mm-hmm. And I think that's wrong. And I think Bernie Sanders is wrong. And I have been unhappy with his performance since this, because I think he took his message unchanged, with no extra context added, nothing, just blah, 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 blah. And people go, see, we told you, Bernie. Bernie'd be finishing up his second term right now. We would have already changed the Constitution. He'd be doing his third term. We'd be all happy. Everybody would come together. And, you know, now we can't have that. Now we can't have that because, of course, of the Democrats. It's the Democrats' fault. So that's just my opening salvo. That's been JL's opening take. Bam, 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 bam. Sponsored by Bernie. it's so weird to then be like, the shows were, I'm only doing this, Mike, because the fly was trying to get in my mouth. I hope that's not too distracting. What if there was no fly in here?
And what do you want me to do?
No, I'm saying, what if I had like a brain tumor?
Like Shutter Island?
I see flies, but I'm also becoming a political savant. It's like that movie Phenomenon with John Travolta. Yeah. If I could change the world. One of the worst Eric Clapton songs of all time in that movie. Anyway. That was when Travolta couldn't wait to spend all his Pulp Fiction capital.
Yeah, I know.
He just was like, I'm back. Bad movie.
Michael.
Broken Arrow. Was Broken Arrow before or right after? Right after. It had to be right after. Because Pulp Fiction was
everything
like,
was after Pulp Fiction.
Michael, Broken Arrow, Battlestar Galactica.
No, not Battlestar Galactica. No,
I'm sorry, Battleship.
It was
America. The
Battleship
Scientology
Earth
movie.
I think
Battleship Earth.
Yeah.
The only exception in there, of course, is Face Off.
That was a bad movie.
I love Face Off. No, I really do. I love Face Off. Not Face Off.
Bad.
It's considered one of the worst movies ever.
Yeah. Battleship Earth. Yeah. Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth. Thank you. You know what? The gigs in Princeton went well. Unfortunately, if anybody was at the Princeton shows, the second show on Saturday, my camera stopped recording after 12 minutes. And there were some really great bits, including one I yelled at the crowd and repeated, which got a laugh because I was like, are you kidding me? I just came up with that. That's like one of the best jokes I've ever said. Mm-hmm. And nobody, and then I repeated it word for word. And then they all laughed both at the joke and the fact that I was repeating it. If anybody knows what the fuck I said Saturday night, it would really help me because it's been eating away at me because I care about the art and the work, Mike. But great shows in Princeton. I walked a couple, Mike, which hasn't happened in a while, but I'll just tell you the story and then we'll take a break. And by the way, like I said, thank you so much to everybody who's been joining the Patreon. Keep it coming. I'm really going to start building that. I've already been doing several regular things monthly on it. And it's only $3 a month, but I'm going to start doing more on it, even if it's just like movie reviews and trying to do maybe an extra live chat or something each month. But thank you to so many signups, and I hope you stick with it. And I hope I make it worth your while. By the way, it's only $3. And if everybody called to action last time, I'm sorry. Not the last time. Half Blackface, Amazon Prime. Watch it. And if you like it, please give it a 5-star review. Just go to your computer to leave the review. You can't leave a review on your smart TV. That's it. Those are the plugs. Show in New Jersey, Rutherford, New Jersey, 8:30 this Saturday, November 16th. And that's it. There are your plugs. But the show, I walked a couple. And I was happy when I found out I walked them because I saw them, their conduct during the first two comics. And they just were like talking, but the woman had a very loud voice. And I was like, this is rude. I don't understand. And there were like people in their 50s or, you know, like late 50s. It's like, maybe early 50s. You don't know how to act at a comic. Like you don't, what is this? This can't be the first time you've ever been at a show. But I get up there and I was talking about January 6th. And my common joke right now is like, hey, wasn't that crazy how the Democrats lost and admitted it? Like right away, Mike, they were just like, we lost.
Yeah.
And then Kamala Harris gave a nice concession speech. Tim Walz gave an especially nice concession speech. And if right-wing media wasn't so dedicated to painting liberals and Democrats as foaming at the mouth, baby raping animals, they would probably show the Tim Walz speech because it was really like a call to let's get back to basics. Let's have conversations about family and community and like, you know, get together again beyond politics or before politics and just start to get to know each other and see the humanity in each other. Very beautiful message. But if you share that, then you might have some viewers who go, oh, you know what? Tim Walz not a bad guy. Don't like his policies, but you know what? So what? I don't like his policies. I didn't vote for him. But like, that seems like a good guy. It's like, he's like my neighbor. He's like, I have a couple people who remind me of Tim Walz. And no, but they can't show that. They can't. But I started saying, I said, isn't that weird how there's like not going to be like a war on January 6th this time? That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's every other election except for one. Weird. And I just was like, yeah, I mean, are any of the MAGA people just going to be in DC on January 6th? Just going, shouldn't there be more dead cops? What is this? This is weird, right? Like this isn't what it's. And they like the woman apparently said, that's not funny. And like, made her husband leave, which I respect, not to sound too much like Trump, but at least the man stayed a little longer. And then it was like one of these things where if he didn't leave, it was going to be trouble. Mm-hmm. And I always say, any woman who would make me leave a comedy show, that's the last time I'm with that woman.
Wow.
Oh, no, I okay.
Bold statement.
Excuse me. Barring the comic being like, shut your fucking mouth, yeah, you fucking C word.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like,
Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just from the comedy, it's just not, I'm not saying people can't be offended or anything, but like, I just wouldn't be with somebody. Like, I know.
Yeah.
I know that you are like, I went on a date with a woman. It was our second date. It was not quite 2008, Mike.
Yeah.
Tone down the Viva La Vida and the Timbaland. But it was still, you know, out of law school, JL. Running amok in the city, recently broken up from his college sweetheart. And second date, I had tickets to Dane Cook at Caroline's. So she's late. So we end up in that back corner, like the two top, all the way, like literally the farthest point from the stage. And I was like, great. I was here like 45 minutes. Like, okay. But I'm like, yeah, you're a tall, hot chick. You know, you're allowed to fuck around once in a while. But then she found out. Like, then she found out. Because then she found out Mike. She fucked around and found out. Because Dane Cook did a bit about, have you ever been with a woman and you go down on her and her vagina is like fifth grade play curtains? And everyone laughed, including me. Oh, wait, one person didn't laugh. The woman next to me. Not laughing is okay. The judgmental look she shot me, not okay. No more dates. That was it.
Wow.
That was it. Yeah, no, because, but that's also,
I get it.
That's also a vibe. Like, it's like, it would be one thing if I was like if I was fucking Max Cady in Cape Fear, just the only one cackling.
Yeah.
Everyone was laughing. But she looked at me like,
yeah.
And I was like, well, either you're a sore sport or you got an entire Arby's in your pants.
Oh, God.
JL, I was with you until you made the Arby's reference. Disgusting. I can't support your show anymore. I'm going back to MSNBC. So the shows were good. I walked that one couple and I had no, I mean, talk about having less than no regrets, because I was like, yeah, that would offend you. I mean, and don't get, okay, you have to include every exception. If they had a child who was law enforcement or a relative who was law enforcement who was killed, obviously feel free to leave. But why would you be a MAGA supporter? Wouldn't you be more sensitive to people who kill law enforcement? Or is it only if they're black people? Anyway, on that pleasant note, guys, you're in for a good episode, though. I feel like, you know, you might need a break after that hot intro.
Yeah.
That was pretty hot.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to agree with it, but I just fucking, I just went Ivan Drago on Bernie Apollo Creed for 15 minutes. That dude is out for the count. But yeah, when we come back, we're going to talk about who should we be grooming? I mean, as Democrats, you know, we groom children. But other than that, who should we be grooming for the, and do you know they have pet groomers now? That's how sick the Democrats are. There's two pet groomers in my neighborhood, Mike. So they're not, you know, they're not just eating the pets. They're grooming the pets. We are going to come back with people we think should be groomed for the presidency in 2028. Like, what kind of candidate needs to be, like, do we need to start looking for now?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's too early, but who gives a shit? We'll be back in 2 minutes after this break. And we're back. Mike, how was that break?
A little long.
Okay. Well, that's how we do it here. So I've been thinking about this, and I have a lot of different things. I'm sort of my YouTube content, which is getting a lot of subscribers. I don't want to abandon the comedy. I certainly don't want to become a pundit right now when I'm still in the middle of a, if not thriving, surviving. I think that's how I would call my comedy career. It's surviving.
Yeah.
We're hoping it can be thriving, but it's surviving. Got them. But I think I'm going to mix in some punditry and some comedy, like in my,
You know, take your producer's advice for the first time.
Hey, everybody, because I'm not Bernie Sanders, I'm going to tell you that Mike wanted me to go in this direction and I didn't want to.
I don't want to. I want to do an episode talking about,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're still.
I have to do this episode on bikes.
No, I get it.
We can't talk about politics.
Well, the show is finding itself, but I also, I still want it to be my show. And like, I talk politics plenty. It's not like I go, fine,
yeah,
we'll do an episode. I do talk a lot of politics, yeah. But obviously we're in a new world, a world that I didn't think we'd be in, unfortunately. And I guess I was stupid or delusional for thinking that. But I figure the way we can help people, when a topic comes to me, Mike, we're going to have episodes where our listeners drop off by 99%.
Yeah.
When I'm like, I want to talk about this. Yeah. For instance, like there is going to be, I think this actually might do fine because it sort of ties in, but I have begun rewatching. I'd given up on the show because I didn't think it was very good, but I've decided over the next month and a half to binge all of Yellowstone, mm-hmm, because I want to talk about it and see, A, if I still think it sucks.
Yeah.
Or maybe it doesn't. And either way, it's relevant because it's like the ultimate red state show. So yeah, there is a political current that runs with that show. So I figure that's a way of, yes, it's the Yellowstone episode where I point out all the things I hate about it and why is the show successful, but it's also, it will fit the narrative. So that I think maybe that's the way going forward. I do other topics when I don't want to just be like, Bernie Sanders sucks, Trump's an asshole, yeah. The end. You know, so that's, and I think people, they gravitate to these politics episodes anyway. So I hope that's, yeah. That's a way to keep them interested because we want to keep the fans. I appreciate all the good comments. But you know, I still don't want to be just a complete algorithm slave.
No, but you're good at it. And I think if you weren't, that would be a different conversation. If you were some sort of fucking stupid hack, then I wouldn't guide you in this direction. But I think this matters. Wow. And also just...
Wow. Yeah, Mike is slick. He just slid that like sensei line in there. Just matter of fact.
What?
I wouldn't have guided you. I wouldn't have... Mike,
this is what I do.
Mike and his women are just, there's a big thing of Clay and Unchained Melody is playing. And it's all of Mike's female podcasters together molding me like in Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore. And he's like, look at what I've created.
I mean, that is in my mind. Yeah.
All right.
But, go ahead.
So it's time to sort of start constructing a candidate. Mm-hmm. Like start building a candidate. It's like build a bear. We're going to build a candidate.
Sure.
And all jokes aside, what I said in the beginning, although I half meant that, we just need one guy who's pro-Israel, but also completely against Israel. If mm-hmm. we can just find him, and it's a him. I have to get that out of the way. I'm sorry.
You have a name.
No. Yeah. I have a gender. Okay. And it's he.
Okay. Understood. Probably a smart move.
And I don't like saying that, but we can eliminate half the population right off the bat. And that's disgusting because I voted for two women. Okay. I have voted for Hillary Clinton gladly and Kamala Harris gladly. And I don't like seeing my feminist credits spent on nothing.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to, I want to cash those in on a winner.
Right.
And it's more important that we, and this is the thing with Democrats. When I say we've got to win, it's not, we've got to win. Like Republicans, it seems like it's Trump's got to win because like me, I need Trump to win for me. I don't need Democrats to win for me. I need Democrats to win for us. And it's, that means winning. And as I said before, Bill Clinton, yes, Mr. Triangulation, Mr. Compromise, Mr. Centrist, whatever the group he was a part of, like putting out centrist. The reason they did that is they wanted to win. Mm. And so Bill Clinton could have been super lefty and lost. And we might not have the 8 years of biggest job creation since like World War II. But it's very tough to say that. Now, can America change? Sure. But I think there's something deeply wrong, and I think the first thing is to decide, I guess it can't be a woman right now. It certainly can't be now. Like,
definitely.
I think it should be. I don't think there's any, but, and I hate the fact that when a Gretchen Whitmer or another talented, capable woman runs for president, that we'll have two choices. Fuck you, and I appreciate both. Fuck you. They don't tell me who we can run. We run our candidate who we think is best, man or woman or non-binary, but we leave that out. We are not ready to say that third part. These are the harsh truths, everybody. And I said to Mike before the show, I said, if I call Elise Stefanik, the front runner for UN secretary, a chubby bitch, that probably felt very harsh. And it is. And I don't really want to say that. Mm-hmm. But it's a lesson because we are playing, Democrats have decided to police ourselves like we are the British soldiers in 1773. And formation this way. And is your coat pressed properly? And kneel and load musket. And nine of our soldiers got shot in the head by the revolutionary sitting in the fucking tree. And reload and replace. We're all dead. That's how we are now. We are, why do you have to go after physical ad hominem attacks? Because I want to win. And I don't mean win by sacrificing. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm willing to sacrifice some decency, some table manners to win. I'm not willing to sacrifice groups of people, the amount of people commenting that we got to get rid of the trans issue. Well, you're probably right politically, but that's a step I won't go. I won't abandon a small community being fucking vilified by pieces of shit to win. That's where I don't go, because you could argue, hey, the 3/5 compromise in the Constitution, great politics, What happened because of that? Oh, we had slaves for a bunch more years. But good politics. Good politics. So, dead giveaway. I don't know why I just thought of that guy. But we should run him, maybe.
Who?
Charles Ramsey from Cleveland, who discovered the three women.
Swear I thought you were doing Pacino.
Oh, no, that would be dead giveaway. It's more. And then it veers into John Bernthal. Yeah. So, I think, and I say that not because I'm going to say that, but we need to not sacrifice our values, but maybe some of our manners. I think that's the way I would put it, because they have neither on the other side. So if you're not going to sacrifice your values, which you shouldn't, you should be willing and able to pull out a knife in a knife fight, not to just go, I'm a conscientious objector. Well, they just slit my throat.
Yeah.
So congratulations. Now you're a martyr.
Right.
So first things first, we need to get rid of we need somebody who's a little uncouth. They don't have to be, but if someone is, and I thought first guy, John Fetterman.
No.
Here, I'm going to tell you why not him.
Oh, okay.
And I know he's too pro-Israel.
No.
And he can't speak.
He's a fucking pig slob.
No. Right. And he got elected to the U.S. Senate. One step below the. I'm not endorsing him. I was going to if you hadn't given me such a radical left no right from the get-go. No, that's my point. I said if John Fetterman had Pete Buttigieg's brain, I would be endorsing him right now. Yes. And you say because but he's a slob. Well, he got elected to the U.S. Senate as a slob. He is a slob. I think his cognitive issues, and then there's going to be people saying, JL, there's nothing. He has a spatial recognition issue. Well, then he can't run. He can't be president if he has this whole thing of like, wow, JL, I didn't know you were ableist. I'm winningist. I'm for winning, not for moral victories. We've had enough of those. It's time to get, as I've said in the past, this is one of my favorite lines that I came up with, sir. You know what the thing about a moral victory is? And now I'm starting to sound like a new rule with Bill Maher. You know what the thing about a moral victory? It's a loss.
Yes.
No one who wins goes, and we got moral victories on top of a victory.
Right.
No, you walk away with the victory. Losers talk about moral victories. We've had moral victories. It's time to get a victory. And this idea of saying John Fetterman, well, that plenty of people, so he needs assistance with blah, blah, blah. Okay. And he can't be president. Moving on. Sorry. We certainly can't go less capable than Hillary and Kamala. Mm-hmm. We certainly can't go less capable than that. But I do think here's what I'm going to say, and you won't like this. And it's not that I agree with him. He took an absolutist stand on Israel. He took I'm just saying he, and my theory, and I've been talking about this with somebody at work who is like both disgusted by Fetterman and Elise Stefanik because they are of Muslim faith.
Fetterman's Muslim?
No, the guy at work.
Oh.
Do you think I would have even brought up John Fetterman if he was Muslim? I'm talking about winning.
Good point.
And I'm like, he's a Muslim slob with cognitive issues. That's my guy. I think what he did, and this, I'm sorry, politically, this is my opinion, not my personal opinion on what's right, because I don't agree with Fetterman on this, but he took a big, clear stance. And this country clearly likes, for all the nuance and all the naysaying and all the left having 1,900 complaints on every issue and 38 perspectives. We have more perspectives than gender on the left, Mike. Hmm? That was a joke. But that's the line that you get. They have more genders than me. He took a clear, bold, he took a clear, strong stance. In the wrong direction, but a strong stance. And I'm starting to think that this country will respect a man. Got to be clear. Got to keep reiterating that. We'll respect a man who's strong, bold, clear, and wrong over a man who is nuanced and compassionate and correct. And to me, the opposite would stand true. A candidate who said, Israel, back the fuck up. Netanyahu, you're a war criminal. I have been to Israel. I love the Israeli people. They are an ally. They have been a useful ally. You don't even know how useful an ally they are in the tech and military sectors. Stuff we can't even talk about. We were there at the founding of Israel when they needed a home. We helped them build a home. They are a strong, resilient people. I will always stand with our ally Israel and the Israeli people. Netanyahu, go fuck yourself. And that would be equally good to me politically, because it would be like, Jesus, he's not with Israel. You're God. I am with Israel. I'm not with Netanyahu. Fuck him. Mm-hmm. I'm saying as a political statement, either one of those is better than, and I, Kamala Harris is in an impossible position. People are like, why didn't she just get up there and say, Joe Biden's a bitch. Fuck him. Even though he's been loyal to her, he paved the way for her. She works under him. They have been partners for 4 years. Oh, why didn't she just throw him under the bus? Why didn't she just say, Joe Biden's wrong on everything? Oh, well, that won't hurt us in the last several months of the Biden administration. That now he's not just a lame duck. He's like a dead duck. Mm-hmm. And so this myth of her being like, she tried, but you know what? She was probably proud of many of the things they did and didn't want to trash him, because she knows that there have been good things that have been done. Big good things that have been done. But to make the problem with her is, we stand by Israel, but we also have to have peace, and I would like a ceasefire. Now, that's a nuanced, fair take, maybe, but it's not bold. It's not clear. And clear and wrong beats nuanced and right in this country. That's it. And so I would take somebody, I would do that. I'd be like, Netanyahu can touch grass. We'll use like nice term, but mm-hmm. You know, because I don't think he's an honest broker. I don't think he's necessarily a good man. And that would be headlines. That's like, my God, no presidential candidate has ever. But you know what? Michigan, I'd be like, you better get in fucking line. I just threw down. So Dearborn, get in line. We're winning Michigan, motherfuckers.
So Fetterman is your guy?
No.
Okay.
I just named also the reasons why he can't win.
Okay.
His cognitive issues.
Yeah.
I bring him up because what I would say is, there are people listening to me who will go, either they'll just go, I didn't know you were ableist, and write me off. Or they'll say, JL, I hear what you're saying, but we have to be more understanding and understand that these differently abled people can still do the job. They can't get elected. Then you can't do the job. It's like, if you never get to the job interview, you don't get the job. So I say that to say, I think he has some of the qualities. You say slob. I say won a Senate seat in Michigan, in Pennsylvania.
Against Dr. Oz.
Yeah, but no, I know. But in a deeply divided state, very partisan state, he won. He did win.
I mean, the one thing that I'll give Fetterman.
He beat a Trump-endorsed guy. He beat a Trump-endorsed guy, not just Dr. Oz out of nowhere. And Oz sucked. Oz was a terrible candidate. Understand? But he still won. He still won, and I think we discount that. Like, he doesn't look, if I saw that guy and he said he was running for the Senate, I'd roll my eyes.
Fetterman or Mehmet?
No, Mehmet is not part of this podcast. Okay.
The one thing that I will give Fetterman is that, you know, obviously with Trump winning, we love frauds in this country. We want them in the office. And Fetterman pretended to be a working class Joe,
yes,
having gone to Harvard.
Yes.
Which I think is.
He's from money.
Yes. Which I think is just fucking insane.
Yes.
That's my biggest issue with Fetterman.
Oh.
And the stroke didn't help, frankly. I don't know that ableist, whatever you want to call me. I don't know that somebody like that should be leading the country.
What was the song Stroke It is by Billy Squire?
Yep.
The stroke.
Yeah.
This is, if I'm running John Fetterman's campaign.
You get down.
If I'm running John Fetterman's campaign. Everybody, I have brain problems. I'm leaning into everything. I am going to out crazy, out WWE, out concert the Republicans. John Fetterman, come out. When they start calling you out for your stroke, your next event is a rally where you come out to The Stroke.
Yeah.
And then the next song is by The Strokes. Yeah. I'm not kidding. You have a stroke playlist. Yeah. There's probably an R&B song called Stroke Me or something. Uh-huh. The whole playlist is Stroke. That's what I'm talking about. own, just shut the fuck up. We're going to have fun. You insult me. We turn it into our own thing. So Fetterman, I don't think could win. And so, but I want to run through the different categories, the different qualifications. And the thing is, like you said, he presents as this and people bought it.
Right.
And right. I don't think that means he doesn't care about working people.
I don't either.
Right. But he presented as this, like, oh, from the mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania, town of nine or something. Yeah. But I'm just saying there are qualities there that I like, and there are reasons why he wouldn't be a good choice. But nobody on the horizon is thinking of him as somebody, which is why I think you've got to think of people that people aren't thinking of.
Yeah.
I think somebody like, let's say like Mark Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mark Cuban decides to run. He joins he caucuses or runs as a Democrat because he wants to do it the right way. He doesn't want to come in with some expensive, hijack the independent and lose it for the Democrats again. Now, Mark Cuban is a guy that I think would be interesting. I also think, but I think he's already painted himself too much against Trump and with the left, even though he is like, he'll say like, I voted for such and such and I voted Republican and Democrat. Those days are over.
Yeah.
So I think Mark Cuban is too identified now with the left, though he is like, he looks like he's about 6'2".
Yeah, handsome guy, famous guy.
The eyes are a little too deep set for me.
But
something dark about
compared to Elon Musk. Fetterman?
Well, no. Elon Musk also. Like in the battle of billionaires, you know, you have the guy who looks like the guy from Return of the Jedi on the ship. Like, you have that, and then you have Mark Cuban. It's like, whoa, who's this?
I know.
Is this George Clooney? Like next to Elon. But
that's what I was saying with Fetterman too. It's like the townsfolks are getting their pitchforks ready.
Yes, they are. No, I put a picture of young Frankenstein and said, this is Pete Buttigieg and John Fetterman.
Yeah. Yes.
But I think that somebody like Mark Cuban, now you need somebody that I bring him up because there's a compelling case for their outsider. But people didn't actually care about Trump's money so much or his business success. It was just the image. He was a TV. It was like he was a TV character, rich, whereas Mark Cuban is still too much of a actual rich guy. Yeah. And it's a little more boring. It's a little more. I mean, he's on Shark Tank, but Shark Tank doesn't do what The Apprentice did. Right. You know, that's like
nobody's getting fired.
Yeah. Nobody's getting fired. You don't have. I almost watched The Apprentice just because I love that song. And what a bass line to kick it off.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, Trump would hate them, right? Who are these blacks playing the bass?
Yeah.
Disgusting. Get them the hell out of here. Where's Lee Greenwood? But so somebody like Mark Cuban, when people are looking for an outsider, I think you can't take somebody like Mark Cuban because he's too identified now with the Democrat brand. He can do all he wants and go, I'm actually not. I'm an independent. And people go, shut the fuck. We know who you voted for. You've insulted Trump. You're against Trump. You're against the MAGA movement. So I think that if you're going to go with somebody outside of the system, it's got to be somebody actually like really outside the system. And I don't know really who that is. Like it couldn't be a George Clooney because he is deeply Democrat. Right. It couldn't be Oprah Winfrey as much as always people are dropping the like, let's draft these fantasies. Yeah. It has to be somebody who almost has like done good things, but is not political. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I don't know if that person exists either. Maybe they do.
And then you're going to all of a sudden make them political.
Well,
you know,
right. And the person who comes to mind, and I do mean this because it's contradicting a little of what I just said, because I also said bold moves. Like Mark Cuban is a milquetoast left of center independent in terms of his fire, in terms of the passion he brings. He's very technocrat and very like, I'm going to tell you why this economic plan is good. I know business. I'm great. Good for you. Not enough. John Stewart. No, I know. But John Stewart is, and I'm throwing out names. This is not my like, and I have the nominee.
No, I know.
But John Stewart is somebody who I think hits a lot of buttons. And I'm saying because he can be political because he is outspoken, bold, very familiar. He's not going to win. I think I'm just saying John Stewart is somebody that I could see making noise. And having a chance.
Would he run for office, do you think?
No, I think he's, I think he likes his life too much.
That's what I was going to say. I almost prefer him to just be the Daily Show. I mean, yeah. I'm so happy that he's doing...
No, I know. That's more important.
What? But what, we have no idea.
What is Mike like watching country on TV?
I love Jon Stewart dearly. He is one of my comedy influences.
There's nothing about Jon Stewart that he couldn't pull off a younger, funnier, less toxic to certain parts of the Democratic Party version of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. I mean, that is the interesting thing, because, you know, because you brought up Stern last week also. Mm-hmm. And I do think you kind of know where these guys stand, because right. It's even if it's just been performative.
And I respect that. I don't agree with him, but he's been clear since 2004 on where he stands on X, Y, and Z.
Jon Stewart.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
He would meet many of the things I have said.
The one thing that you, to Stewart's credit, even to this day, he still has some level of relationship where there's a civility,
yes,
between him and like Bill O'Reilly,
right,
and people like that. Where I do think,
imagine that, showing clips of him talking to left and right,
yeah, right,
left and right, and then he comes with a more populist message, but from somebody who hasn't totally, who's demonized everybody and praised right. everybody at some point.
It's been fair.
Yeah,
because he there's plenty of Jon Stewart going after the left.
Yes,
over like nonsense.
Right, and so as I talk about it, I'm thinking that somebody like Jon Stewart.
I always liked him,
but Jon Stewart is somebody that right now I'd put in the basket of why not? Like, not that he'd get elected, but I'm putting him in the basket of could win. There's a lot of reason, but I'm putting him ahead of many other people. Pete Buttigieg, he's gay. He's out of that.
Right, out.
Love him.
Right,
think he would be great. He's out. Sorry. And I hate saying that too.
No,
because it should absolutely not be. But like, you go to war with the country you have, not the country that you want.
Because they cannot lose again.
Right.
They can't. I'm not saying not ever, but if they try to get cute and do, and like we said it last week, again, it's sad that this is the way it is, but the last out of the last three elections, the two that they've lost is when they've run to women.
Right.
It sucks. And I, you know.
And they were different women. I know they weren't, neither one was a radical, but the idea that Kamala Harris could both be presented as like soft on crime as a prosecutor, but also as like a socialist wokester who's also a career prosecutor and at the same time like throwing black men in jail. But she's the wokest. Like the inconsistency of the messages about her just show that it was just about rejecting her.
Yeah.
There was no consistent message against her. There was just a series of insults and questions that added up to, yeah, not her. Yeah. And I joked on Threads. I said, follow me on Threads, people. I joked that, you know, there's a guy going, no, just not that woman, as he points to all women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's where we're at. So I got Jon Stewart as somebody who I think could make noise. Now we look at somebody like Gavin Newsom, and we talked about him before. And Gavin Newsom to me, and I did this with people at work today. I said, Gavin Newsom is articulate, straight, handsome, has lots of leadership experience, and is exactly who this country would love to defeat.
Yeah.
Super handsome, effortlessly slick. And not in a Bill Clinton like, but I talk with an accent, so you might think I'm not smart.
Right.
He's like, hi, everybody. I'm basically taller, more handsome George Hamilton. Like, and I'm just a politician. I don't even do acting.
Yeah.
It's like Troy McClure with like who smoked is like how he comes off. And I think people couldn't wait to beat him. That's exact, like, because he will be a victim of the I can't relate to him. Now Jon Stewart will get knocked for big city Jewish liberal.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's enough there, I think, to overcome that in his package. Mm-hmm. Not that it won't be a decider if it's a close election, but I think that's somebody that, you know, we need to look at. But with Gavin Newsom, I like Gavin Newsom, but I think, you know, I joked that if he had won the primary again, gone up against Trump, if they had an open primary. And Trump at first would be intimidated because I think he feared Gavin Newsom because Trump is obsessed with optics. Mm-hmm. And Gavin Newsom is central casting. Gavin Newsom is more handsome than any actor who's ever played president.
I mean,
yeah. The dude's like,
think about that.
The dude's like 6'3 or 6'4.
Yeah.
Slick, full head of hair, gracefully aging.
Yeah.
Never says, he has him and Pete Buttigieg, like the three guys I think are the most articulate sort of on news presenters of Democratic policies are Newsom, Buttigieg, and honestly, Cory Booker, but Cory Booker comes off very kind of too earnest.
He's another fucking fraud.
I think he's a nice guy.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
But okay. Well, the fucking fraud felt harsh.
He's the mayor of Newark. It was the whole thing. He was a very optic. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's all it takes.
He's a politician.
Yeah.
I mean, that is one of the things though that we have to face facts is that some of this is a game. Some of it's substance.
You're right.
And I think Cory Booker, I think his heart is good. I think he comes off to me as an earnest person who cares. So if he had to do some performative stuff or whatever, that's the game also. It's the Bernie Sanders of the world can like be the most authentic pie in the sky. We need A, B, C, D, and E. And because there's never going to be a time where that agenda can come to fruition.
Yeah, but all right. So counterpoint, somebody like Obama who has disappointed me post presidency.
2, 3, 4.
I still don't personally get the vibe that he was a fraud.
Sure.
I would never use that word to describe.
I think he was himself.
I would use the word thirsty to describe him, but I wouldn't use the word fraud, where I think that, like what we were saying about Fetterman, and sort of similar to the way that I feel about Booker. But Booker, I know because of growing up in Jersey.
Right.
Like I know that there's a history.
What town in Jersey?
Well, not in Newark, but I.
But a town that probably wouldn't be caught dead in Newark. You know what? Corey Blacker.
No,
Booker, whatever. The black guy in Newark. No, thank you. Remember Newark? Where we all Newark.
I grew up pretty close to Newark.
Okay.
And no, I mean, I didn't. I'm not from a glamorous neighborhood in Jersey. I'm from the shit kicking south side of Edison, but. There was just all this stuff because I loved him when when I was young and he first came on the scene. He did this thing that I remember where he was being inaugurated in Newark and there was a bank robbery or something.
He like tackled the guy who caught somebody.
He like went into the truck with the police officers and he like chased them down. I think I also just lost my camera, so sorry.
You fix your camera, I'll talk.
And it was this thing. It was this like very highly publicized thing where they were just like, look at this Newark's mayor fighting crime like Batman. And then all of a sudden it was just like that was like a photo opportunity moment. He basically, the second the Senate seat opened, he just bounced. Mm-hmm. And that is politics. You're right. But there is something inauthic about.
But he wasn't a Newark
guy. About being
a
crusader.
Newark was like a stepping stone. And some people don't like that. And I agree. But at the same time, I mean, he was an ambitious guy. He's a smart guy. And I think him in the national stage is a good thing also for the country. So it might not have been best or whatever for Newark. But Newark is coming up still and doing better. So I think. So I was just going to say Cory Booker would be somebody else who I like hearing speak, but I think he comes off too earnest and too like goobery.
Okay.
No, just in his speaking style, like we have to do more. I have full quotes from Martin Luther King. Not just I have a dream. I can quote you every word of that speech as the final answer to your question.
Yeah.
Kind of super smart. I still like my politicians to be better than me. In some way, either better people or smarter,
yeah.
Or, you know, but like, I think those three guys don't have a chance. So the only person I have right now, cause I can rule out Gretchen Whitmer. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm sorry. So then we get Wes Moore, governor of a former elementary school classmate of mine and governor of Maryland. Now what Wes Moore has is he's a good looking guy. He's jacked. Which for some reason, every other Maryland governor is fucking yoked.
Yeah, are they?
There was, what was his name? Shit. Do me a favor. Martin O'Malley. Martin O'Malley ran for president in 2016. He got nothing. He was in a debate or two. That guy was jacked. You may not see it in the Google search, but like he was in a band and you just see like the guns bursting out of the shirt sleeves. Then they went to Larry Hogan, who let's just say is not jacked. Yeah. And if you look up Larry Hogan, you'll see the opposite of jacked. And then Wes Moore, they were like, we're back to a jacked mayor. Like instead of rotating Democrat, Republican, they're like gym membership, no gym membership. But Wes Moore
Larry Hogan looks like Maryland. That's the Maryland I know.
Wes Moore is a guy who has an Obama-like bio in terms of, you know, sent to military school in like middle school. But then, you know, went to, I think, Hopkins, joined the Army, might have been a Rhodes Scholar, was part like headed Robin Hood, the company or organization. And just has, you know, wrote a book called that like a bestseller, like his hillbilly elegy, but it's called The Two Wes Moores. It's not really his, but it's about like another guy who lived a different life, also named Wes Moore. So it's a very interesting book idea. But he's a guy who, like Obama, he's going to have to win re-election in 2 years. Now, maybe a discontent over Trump will usher him in easily into a second term. But we don't know yet. You know, he's not a guy with a government history, but he's a guy with a shallow enough history that if he gets re-election, people are going to be looking to him. Mm-hmm. And he is not Barack Obama with his weird name and foreign daddy.
Right.
He's military Wes Moore. Mm-hmm. Like, looks the part. Like, there's nobody on the right who's going to step up there and look more fit.
Right.
Like, he could kick your ass, you know. And yeah. But he's also, I don't know if he's a guy who gets in the muck. I don't know yet. Because is he going to be willing to take bold stances? Like, let's not forget, Obama's boldest stance was probably still his campaign stance to be against the war in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And I will say this. I believe Hillary Clinton voted for the war in Iraq as a political calculation that, like, I will be killed if I'm the person voting against the war when we were attacked on 9/11. Now, people will say, and that's why she sucks. Then a lot of people made that calculation. They are politicians. And I don't know if she shouldn't have. Of course, she shouldn't have. But a lot of people shouldn't have. And Obama didn't have a vote to test him. He had the,
right.
This is why, once again, not having your feet to the fire helps. Being untested is the new being vetted. It's like, oh, I don't have to make a choice on this. And that's better because if I'm wrong, I'm done. But if I never made a choice, I can say I'm against the war. This doesn't affect me. I'm a state senator, you know, and that was a very big deciding line in 2000, a very big point in 2008. I read in several books that, you know, even gay marriage, that really was, some people have thought that was like a trial balloon, like they sent Biden out there. It's not true. Obama was pissed because Obama, I think, is smart enough to know I have to like thread the needle on these cultural issues. Mm-hmm. And he was being too cautious. And it was Joe Biden just being Joe Biden. It wasn't Joe Biden going out there as an asset of the campaign. He's like, love who you love, man.
Right.
And that was, and the administration had to, because I've read in multiple books that like Obama wasn't like, fuck him, he's not my, but Obama was pissed because Obama, like we're talking about now, I think was hyper aware of this country just elected a black president with a funny name.
Right.
I can't be freewheeling on these issues. I can't be viewed as too, but of course it was really race that fucked him because when he said Trayvon Martin, if I had a son, he could, and they were like divisive.
Yep.
Divisive. I thought he was.
I thought the white half was governing.
No. I know. Even where I thought he was no red states or blue states. We're the United States of America. Yeah. What about what he said is dividing?
Right.
Oh, this guy killed a black kid. How divisive. I don't know where to be on this. By the way, George Zimmerman has not aged too well.
No.
Pretty much a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And all Obama did was literally show empathy. That's empathy. That's like I'm putting myself in your family's place. He was empathizing, and that was the beginning of the end because he had taken a side with a black youth. And all of a sudden, he was no longer perfect, perfect, pure, non-racial Negro. He was the black president. We gave you a chance. We were nervous. We gave you a chance with your funny name, but you were a black the whole time, Obama, and now we know it. And that, like, so I think he knew, and maybe that was just Biden being like, hey, man, I've been a senator 36 years. I'm a white guy. I say what I want.
Yeah.
Love who you love, man. What, did I do something wrong? Did I fuck it up for Barry? Come on, man. Love who you love. Like, that's what happened. And it's a perfect illustration of Obama. Probably, I shouldn't even say probably. If you asked him to a lie detector with no cameras around, this will never get out. He'd be like, of course they should marry. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, like, it's the government. It's a civil thing. It's a civil thing. It's not my church being forced to marry somebody. It's our government gives benefits to people who get married. And we're denying it to people who want to get married just because they're same sex. Of course. But I'm also worried about reelection. I'm also worried about getting legislation passed and not becoming everything I say being a cultural issue. And Biden was like, hey, I don't have to worry. I'm not a black guy. People know me. Mm-hmm. I get Republicans to vote for me, man. My best friend, some of my best friends are Republicans, man. Love who you love. And that's how we got that. But of course, I don't give Joe Biden any credit for that. Fuck him. And his gay marriage. Fuck that. Wouldn't it be better if we just had like fewer years of gay marriage if Joe Biden hadn't been such an arrogant asshole on Meet the Press? Come on, man. Sorry, man. Didn't mean to advance rights by accident, man. Joe Biden, you got a fan here, man. Jack. So, I mean, we're going long. I know Mike, but this is important stuff. This is like the rebirth. This is from the caterpillar cometh the cocoon, the butterfly of, yeah, of the new rain on your parade in the dawn of the new Trump era.
Yeah.
But I don't know who should run. I think like the only two people I even have right now, Wes Moore and John Stewart. Like that's, and I mean that seriously. I don't mean like I'm just doing content. I mean just trying to break people down and think what will work. What does this country want? Because I think it will elect a black man in Wes Moore. I don't think it'll elect a black woman. It didn't.
Right.
But Wes Moore will present very alpha to all the black men who sort of thought, but what are you going to do for, like, I don't know. I don't know if I can trust. What about me? They will see themselves in him. They will see an idealized version of themselves in him. Mm-hmm. Guy's strong. He's military. He's an athlete. He's confident. He's charismatic. Like, I want to be him. And he'll have to do the Obama dance, maybe not to the same degree, because Obama's already paved that path a little bit, but he's still going to have to reassure some white voters of what? That he's not going to be too black, whatever that means. I promise to be a black he can get along with. I don't know. It's so dumb. It's so fucking dumb. But like all you need to know is in 2020, one of the threats Donald Trump had for suburban women was, you know, talking about like NIMBY stuff, like building, you know, in your neighborhoods, like affordable housing. Ooh, there's another reason why we're never going to be okay. I want affordable, not in my neighborhood. Mm. And that's everybody. That's just about everybody. Climate change, we got to do something. No, I want $2 gas, $2 a gallon gas. $2 a gas. It can't be two. I don't want anybody moving into my neighborhood that can't afford where I live. And I definitely don't want gas that costs more than $2. But I want to solve climate change and housing. That I'm committed to. Just not in any possible solution. But if I could close my eyes and create like a new earth, I'd do it there. So, but I don't know what the fuck. I hate when I go off on those tangents. But
me too.
Well, I thought we were having a good episode, guys. But our country is not prepared for, I think, Trump. And I think there is this double standard. Like the first thing is if you can't get people to remove the double standard, embrace the double standard. That would be my advice, which is, hey, we have to play by the whatever, the kings, the queen of Kingsbury, whatever the fuck those rules are, the Marquise of Queen, you know, you ever hear those, whatever the fuck it is. we have to play by discipline rules and we'll be called for every infraction. So fuck it. Stop playing by the rules. Stop obeying the rules because they only apply. And I thought Kamala Harris tried to do that by selecting her interviews, by not just being like, I'll do everything for the media because Trump will do nothing. So I'll double up on the pressure, the interviews. She tried to avoid that to a certain degree. And people say, well, that was wrong. No, I think it was right. I think there are a lot of reasons she lost, but I think that was right. But we need to find somebody who has the credentials, who has the newness, the talent, and is not afraid to sort of fucking punch some Republicans metaphorically in the face. And we need people on the left to not instantly police, you know, like people on the left would hire a guard dog and then get mad at the guard dog for biting the leg of the assailant too hard. You know, mm-hmm. Like we wanted you to guard it, but now we will call the police. No, the guard dog is like, I'm here to guard. And we have to stop doing the, well, we want to win the right way. I agree on policy, on morals, win the right way. But table manners, I'm going to refer to this as the table manners of politics. That ain't winning. And they are not playing by those. And we need to find somebody we can be comfortable in being both a leader and an attack dog. Not we have to have both. Trump is both. He's a shit leader in terms of real leadership, but he is both. He is their attack dog. He's like if on a hockey team, if your enforcer was also the leading goal scorer. Mm-hmm. You know, if Matt Rempe were scoring like Artemi Panarin. Mm-hmm. That's what Trump is for his movement. We need somebody like that. Maybe a Matthew Tkachuk of the Florida Panthers, a guy who mixes it up, but also has real sick talent. Mm-hmm. That's kind of why I just watched a documentary on including stuff on the Florida Panthers. I apologize for the hockey reference. That's probably at least equal poison to if I had brought a baseball reference in. But I'm just saying we have to start thinking, and I welcome the comments have been robust. I'm serious. I welcome thoughts, suggestions on who fits my definition of what the Democrats need. Am I missing some people? They can be from outside of politics. They can be from deep inside politics, but they have to meet some of these standards. And I think that's the way forward. I think that's the way to win because the Democrats have to stop playing by, they have to create a new label for themselves instead of trying to squeeze in. No, we're going to be pro-working man. Here's what I say about that pro-working man. And then we'll take the last break and we have comedy talk to, you know, as a palate cleanser. It's brief, Mike. It'll be brief, but it's still something for people to go, okay, at least there's still some comedy talk. I keep forgetting. It's been a long week, people. I apologize. Not a lot of sleep and a lot of work. I don't know. Fuck it. We just have to find somebody who fits these criteria and we have to stop accepting the other labels. We have to create a new Democratic Party. And when they say the working, we've abandoned the working people, it's bullshit. Donald Trump is not, the working people are going to the people who've never cared for them because they don't feel we care enough. Fuck that. I don't believe that. I believe that's a branding issue because when if your husband slaps you in the face, you don't go running to Ike Turner for solace. That's what I would say. And I know that's a rough analogy. Wife beating. I know we don't talk about that. Fuck that. If you get into a fight with your husband and he backhands you, leave him. Fine. But when you run to Ike Turner and say, please take care of me, my husband slapped me, you're full of fucking shit. And that's what I consider all these working people, all the Reagan Democrats who just didn't like certain things. They loved the guy who destroyed unions because mm-hmm. they were so pro-worker. Mm-mm. It's race. It's still race. It's other things too, but it's race. And when's the line going to stop? When he takes away the temporary protected status of Haitians in Springfield, when him and J.D. Vance start jerking each other off, going, look at those Haitians leaving Ohio. Do we do anything then? We're going to protest. We're going to stay at the airport holding signs like we stand with you, Haiti, as they go to the fucking slaughter that is Haiti right now. You know, when we have more deaths from denied abortions, are we going to go? We're going to protest maybe like Westboro Baptist Church. We can protest at funerals. When is it going to when are we going to just say, oh, it's the Democrats' fault that I handed Trump the gun that he blew up my face with. It's not. It's our fault. And we can start now by stop being, I'm sorry, pussies. I don't mean there are strong people. There are strong moral people in that, but like we are playing this kind of polite game still. And we should not change our values. We should be pro-inclusion, pro-worker, you know, all these things that are values that are still associated with Democrats. We're just not doing them well enough, according to some critics. But it's time to shed. It's time for like a rebirth of this party. And I think that starts probably with an unconventional or new leader, somebody who shares the values of the Democratic Party and none of the antiquated, let's be nice, no ad hominem attacks. We don't use that language. We don't do ableism. We don't do this. We have to do winning. And then we can worry about being nice again. And like I said, it's not saying John Fetterman can't run because he has these flaws is not saying we should abandon trans kids or fuck off workers or blow up Gaza or fuck Ukraine. It's just saying we need to fight in a different way now. And I think that starts with finding a new fighter, somebody who fits my weird definition of what a Democratic fighter is. But that's it, guys. That's been my take. Please comment, give us some suggestions. I'd appreciate some real suggestions. Obviously, if you want to joke, that's welcome too. But I'm curious what people think, or if you're just going to say, and if you think Gretchen Whitmer is the answer, feel free to explain why. If you think Gavin Newsom is the answer, feel free. I mean, we're not perfect here. We don't have all the answers, but I think it's time for a radical rethinking, not of the message of the Democratic Party, which to me is still the same. It's how we message it. Because if Joe Biden can do all these things that are pro-worker, and at the end of the day, workers decide that Trump is more for them, when you couldn't find, you'd have to dig up Ronald Reagan's grave to find somebody more anti-union and anti-worker. I don't think it's the Democrats' policies. I think it's messaging. And I don't mean that in the way like people, I mean, we need a messenger who can present that message in a way that this country can hear. And right now they're not hearing it. They hear the stadium roar for Donald Trump. They don't hear the librarian telling you how great this policy is. So we'll be back in after this break with some brief comedy talk. Hey, everybody, we're back. This is going to be a quick comedy talk. I didn't realize that when I get going, I can sometimes really go very long. I hope you enjoyed it, but this was longer than anticipated. So if I took up half your day, sorry. But Punchdown of the Week, of course. This one I thought was, this is not a classic Punchdown of the Week, but I thought it deserved mentioning because it annoyed me so much. In keeping with a reference I made previously, a couple days ago I wrote, with a picture of Young Frankenstein and Gene Wilder and Peter Boyle from Young Frankenstein. If we could put Pete Buttigieg's brain inside of John Fetterman's body, we'd never lose a presidential election again. Meaning basically the smarts and communication skills of Pete in a big, giant Midwest slop. That was the point. And somebody followed that up, I guess taking me seriously or something. I like Pete just the way he is. Comfortable in his skin and brilliant. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Because I was actually not suggesting a brain transplant from Pete Buttigieg. And I didn't also mean that to say Pete Buttigieg is like not a good looking enough or healthy enough person that he needs. But thank you. Thank you for Pete Buttigieg. Don't worry. On Twitter, your warriors are on the lookout for anything possibly disparaging. So thank you. That's your Punchdown of the Week. Special Mike, I watched it this morning. I'm running on very little sleep because I give to this show so much. And I decided at 5:30 a.m. I had to watch a comedy special because I haven't reviewed one in a couple weeks, much to your chagrin, I know. Seth Meyers, Dad Man Walking on HBO Max. Here's the thing about it. It was pleasant. I laughed a few times. I never found too much about it horrible. I did find it shocking, I have to admit, when he talked about his wife being Jewish. I was like, hold up. What? Seth Meyers is a Gentile? I was stunned. That was like some sort of like Nanette level, like, oh my God, this just got real.
Bomb drop.
I was like, wait a second. Seth Meyers. I just assumed on so many levels.
If you saw his brother, you would understand that they are gooey.
Well, he was on Mad TV.
Yeah. But, and that 70s show.
Oh, was he?
He looks more like Owen Wilson than he does a Jewish guy.
Well, Owen Wilson, you can't tell from his nose.
Not Jewish.
Because his nose has been... Yeah, but maybe before the Mack truck ran into Owen Wilson's nose 12 times, you don't know what it looked like then. But Seth Meyers, I really just was like, he's not... It didn't matter. But when he was like, my wife is Jewish. And I was like, what are you? Not Jewish. So big revelation. I'm sorry to spoil that. It wasn't meant as a spoiler. It just was a spoiler for me.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's if people find me too abrasive or like friendly comedy, this was a mostly 99% like apolitical. It's dad jokes. It's family stories. It was very pleasant and very light and somewhat funny. So I only say that, you know, because we have people of different comedic tastes that listen to this. So if that's more your boat, some of the stuff I recommend you might find too harsh or not approachable. This is very, very enjoyable, pleasant, safe for the family kind of comedy. Better than I expected. I actually, because he's a late night host who isn't obviously getting out to the clubs, I expected it to be terrible, but it was fine. It was fine. So it's, I'm just saying, if that's your cup of tea, that kind of comedy, go get it. So, I'm sorry again for taking so long. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll try to keep these shorter, but when I get going on this, obviously I'm a runaway freight train. So I should have toned down, but I thank you for all listening and or watching. I hope many of you, if you're new to this episode, that you'll check out old episodes and stay with us, follow, subscribe. And to the new listeners who are following and subscribing, I appreciate you. Spread the word. If there's an episode you like, please share it, get other people hooked. And yes, go to Spotify and or iTunes, Apple Podcasts, leave a review if you're a viewer or if you just haven't left a review yet. And if you want to sometimes watch, I think these podcasts, they're good to listen to, but and I want you to listen and download and all that. But if you have time where you're sitting at the computer with not much to do, you can watch it. And sometimes there's a lot of funny, I make funny faces sometimes, Mike. And Mike sometimes makes faces of deep, deep, deep disappointment in me. So, hey, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And I will see you next Thursday.